Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Acts chapter 19, verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirits answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" I want to preach to you for a few moments on the subject, "Who in hell are you?" You may be seated. I will say at the onset of this short message, if you are not known in hell, you have no authority on earth. Hell has to know who you are, or you have absolutely no authority on earth, which means that the devil, the adversary, can have free course in your life, in your family, in your children, in your home. You have to live in a way that hell is afraid of you, and hell recognizes your authority. We're living in a time where there are so many Christians making so many professions, but they're powerless, and they do not have the authority to produce what they're talking about. You got to get it for yourself. You can't depend on your church. You can't depend on your denomination. You can't depend on your family. You can't depend on your preacher. The Bible indicates that every man must possess it for himself. You got to get it for yourself. And we are washed with counterfeit Christianity. One of my pastor friends told me a dozen years ago, he said, "Steve, perception is more important than truth." I watched his family disintegrate. I watched him divorce. I saw him lose his church. The building shuttered and closed down because of that philosophy. Nothing is more important than truth. You've got to be the genuine article. You've got to be the real article. And so we see so much counterfeit Christianity. But Paul was the real deal. He was known in three worlds. Earth saw him for what he was. Heaven knew him for what he came to be. And hell shuddered at his very presence. He was known in three worlds. The Apostle Paul was the genuine article. Anything genuine and valuable is subject to counterfeiting. Nobody counterfeits a dollar bill. It's just not worth the trouble. They counterfeit 20s and 100s. It has to have value to be counterfeited. And so the Church of the Living God is the most valuable thing on planet Earth today. As I said, if it were not for the church today, the world would simply be destroyed by the judgment of God. We're holding back the night. God himself is in pain. He calls it the long suffering of God, because sin as we see it today demands judgment. But because of the Church of the Living God and our intercessory role, judgment is being withheld. But the Church of the Living God cannot be simply a facade. We must be the genuine article, as the Apostle Paul was. The entire 19th chapter of the book of Acts deals with this very subject. It deals with people that had no authority, that were trying to do the work of God. Trying to do God's work without God's authority is a winless situation. The Bible said that they were astonished at the authority of Jesus Christ. When Jesus spoke, the winds obeyed him. When Jesus spoke, the demons were expelled. And ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said, Christ said, "Greater works than these shall you do." We are not so simply supposed to be people that profess Christ. We're supposed to be people that possess Christ. The very power of the living God is supposed to dwell in us. And so this 19th chapter of the book of Acts shows us two groups of people, and they represent many people in the church world today. One of those that were claiming to be Christians and simply had no authority or no power were these first Ephesian believers that Paul encountered. They were powerless by ignorance. They simply did not know what was available to them. Nobody had ever preached to them the full gospel, and they were doing the best they could with the knowledge they had. And so they were counterfeit by ignorance. The group that I read the text about, they were counterfeit by corruption. They knew exactly what they were doing, but they were trying to use the church to their advantage. And so the story is very simple. When you see the Apostle Paul, confrontation is going to happen. He had no detente with the devil. He never allowed the devil any space at all. He confronted him everywhere he went, and he was victorious. The God that we serve has not sent us just to battle, but he has sent us to win. Greater works than these you shall do. Greater power is in you than he that is in the world. We are the church of the living God. And so the Apostle Paul was appalled when he saw these people trying to operate in the name of Jesus Christ when they had no authority whatsoever. The Apostle Paul said, I am a disciple of Christ. I'm a changed man, and he had the credentials to prove that because God had radically changed him. You know about his conversion on the Damascus Road where the Lord struck him down with a great light, and he said, Who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. He came, he became, instead of a persecutor of the church and a killer of Christians, he became the number one man in hell that hell was after, because they realized that he was going to change the world, because he was not simply a man of perception, he was a man of reception. He had received the power of the living God. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time that the church of the living God awoke to righteousness. We shook ourselves and realized that we have come to the kingdom of God for such a time as this. And when Paul came to those Ephesian believers and they began to profess that they knew Christ, that they were followers of Christ, he began to investigate a little bit about their authority. And you know, that's what the Holy Spirit would like to ask us today. It would be the depth of our authority. Do you really have the ability to bind men's sins? The Bible said that God would give us that ability in the last days. Do you have the ability to literally command that the devil come out of people and they be set free? God wants us to be people of power, and God wants us to be people of authority. We're living in a time where you can't patty cake for Jesus. It's going to take more than a Sunday school lesson. It's going to take more than a handshake and a hallelujah to save this world. We are in all-out warfare, ladies and gentlemen. It's not going to be with the might of political power. It is going to be the power of the Holy Ghost. We have to stir up the gift that is within us. The Apostle Paul had such a dramatic experience on the Damascus Road, but it did not stop there. If you read a little further, the Bible said he went down to the street called Straight. He had been such a violent opponent of Christianity that he was not welcome in any church. No preacher wanted him because they were literally scared to death of Saul of Tarsus. And finally, he had one man that the Bible said God sent, and that man baptized him. And the Bible said the Apostle Paul received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, you can't go to the streets. You can't even go to your workplace unless you take the name of Jesus Christ. You better not go out into this world without the power of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Brandon said, somebody asked him, do you have to have the Holy Ghost to go to heaven? He said, you got to have the Holy Ghost to go to Walmart. Friend, you need the power of the Holy Ghost inside of you. You need to get filled, baptized, inundated with the power of Almighty God. The Apostle Paul would say, I come to you not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, and he had it. He was intellectual. He was educated, perhaps one of the most educated people of his day. But I come to you not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but I come in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Ladies and gentlemen, Living Way Church does not seek to be one more in a long line of denominational assemblies. We need the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. From the back row to the pulpit, we need the power of the Holy Ghost. Would somebody give God some praise in this house today? So when the Apostle Paul met these Ephesian believers, he questioned the legitimacy of their conversion. And I think that that is a real thing today that can be questioned. The legitimacy of all these people, over a billion now, a billion and a half, that claim that they're born again, spirit-filled Christians. But the Bible teaches us, if we're real Christians, these signs shall follow them that believe. I don't see a lot of signage behind the church. Have you seen somebody that really heals the sick, or casts out the devil, or speaks with a new tongue, or transforms people's lives? That's what the Apostle Paul was confronting these Ephesian believers about. He said, I don't see any validation of your so-called conversion. And the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, all across America today, millions of people gather together in dry, drab churches that are anemic and powerless, and still they want to claim to be Christians. And when they leave that building and go to the workplace tomorrow, there is not one iota difference between them and those that acknowledge that they are not saved and they're not Christians. The church of the living God needs a revival. We need a revival of God's power. We need a revival of God's Spirit. And so Paul digs a little deeper in these counterfeit Christians' lives. And he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they were admitting that they were totally ignorant of God's counsel. And they said, we have not even heard so much as there be any Holy Ghost. He said, I bet you're not baptized either. And they said, oh, yes, we were. We were baptized under John's baptism. He said, John simply baptized under repentance, that you should believe on him that would come after him. And the Bible said he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, do you put the proper value on the name of Jesus? Do you know there is no name like Jesus? Obama is not like Jesus. Trump is not like Jesus. Hollywood is not like Jesus. There is nobody like Jesus. His name is above every name. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. His glory to the Lord. In the name of Jesus, we bow to that name. It's the only name that makes hell shrink. It's the only name that makes devils flee. It's the only name that causes angels to snap to attention. His name is Jesus. And Jesus has promised us that he's here today. When two or three people gather together in that name, he's here. Jesus is here today in this building. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so he laid his hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost and spoke with tongues. He left that confrontation, and the Bible said God did mighty, many, many mighty miracles at his hands. They took handkerchiefs from his body, and people were healed. And when those people that were not Christians saw that, they want to capitalize on it. There are a lot of people that want the benefits of Christianity, but they do not want the person of Jesus Christ. These seven sons of Sceva were with that group, and they said, let's do what he did. Let's duplicate what he did. Friend, you cannot duplicate the works of a real Christian if you do not have a real power of God in your life. And so they tried their very best. And the Bible said they came to one man that was demon-possessed, and they said, in the name of Jesus Christ, demons come out of him. But when they said that, those demons came out and spoke to them personally and said, Jesus, we know, and Paul, we know, but who are you? We've never heard of you. Your name has never been bandied about in the corners of hell. Nobody knows who you are in hell. You have absolutely no authority over us. And so the Bible said those demon spirits in that man, and that man jumped on them and beat them up, seven of them, one against seven, but he beat those seven men up. He ripped their clothes off. He beat them about the head and the face, and they fled naked and wounded and bleeding. Ladies and gentlemen, you're no match for the devil if you don't have the power of Almighty God. You got to have the name of Jesus. You must have the power of the Holy Spirit, and you must have the authority of the Word of God. Who in hell are you? If hell doesn't know your name, heaven's not going to give you anyone an audience, and heaven is not going to answer your request. You have to be known. And so the point is this. The Apostle Paul said, this futile and fatal attempt to counterfeit my ministry is a total failure. And the reason why there is no record, why did the devil know Paul and he does not know the seven sons of Sceva? Why does the devil know the Apostle Paul and he does not know many Christians today? Because you have to have a record. Paul had a record, and he expected others that called themselves Christians to have a record. It has to be written down. It has to be in writing. Brother Freeman was a great missionary that I knew many years ago. He spent 40 years in Africa. Hundreds of thousands of people came to Christ under his ministry. But as a young man, when he went to Africa, he said the very first person that he confronted was a Satanist. And that Satanist said, you might as well get back on that boat, because he said, I've got this thing in the palm of my hand. And he said, I'm going to expose your past for what you were, what you've done in your youth, and what your record is. And he said, the devil reveals that to me, and I tell the people, and I discredit you. And he said, have at it. And he said, that man came back to him, and he said, I talked to the devil about you, and I can't get any information. He said, you're the first one I've ever tried to get information. He said, why is that? He said, because I've been baptized in Jesus' name, and the Bible said it's for the remission of sins. He said, you can't find my sins, because he said, God can't even find my sins. They are totally remitted. They're gone. Ladies and gentlemen, there needs to be a record. And Paul said, I have got a record. I've got a record, and you have to have it in writing. Daniel said in chapter 12, verse 1, at that time, Michael, stand up, the great prince which standeth the children of thy people. And there was a time of trouble, such as never was since their nation, even to the same time. And at that time, the people shall be delivered. He said, there's a time coming when the people of God shall be delivered. Everyone that is found written in the book. Ladies and gentlemen, I ask you, are you known in hell? Is there a record of your birth in hell? Jesus sent out his disciples, and they came back and said, thank you very much. We are anointed. We've got power over the devil. Everywhere we went, the devil fled from us. And Jesus said, rejoice not because the demons are subject to you, but rejoice because you have a record. It's written down. Hell knows who you are. But he said, rejoice because your name is written down in the Lamb's book of life. Ladies and gentlemen, is there any record that you ever got saved? Is there any record that you ever got filled? Is there any record that you ever got delivered? Is there any record that you ever became a new creature? Is it written down anywhere? Ladies and gentlemen, I've got a track record in heaven, and because of that, the devil knows who I am. I am known in hell. They say, Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know, and Steve, we know you too. We know you don't come in your own ingenuity and your own ability, but you come in the name of Jesus, and you come in the power of the Holy Ghost, and you come with the sword of the Lord, and because of that, we have to flee. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Give the Lord a big praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You have to have a written record, or you're nobody in hell. You're nobody in hell. We started this church many years ago. When you start with no influence, no people, no money, no nothing, all kinds of confrontations happen. I remember we had a little parking lot next door. We couldn't park the cars on the blacktop. They start parking on the grass. One of the neighbors, he's dead now, came out. He said, "Sir, you can't park your cars on the grass in Live Oak." He said, "I'm calling the police." He said, and so I was out there. The police came. Said, "We're going to tow all these cars off this grass. Preacher, you can't do this." I just reached out in my pocket. The Lord's always given me foreknowledge. I don't know why I needed that, but I just reached in my pocket, and I laid it out there for that policeman. I said, "Read that, sir." And he said, "Living Way has been granted a privilege to park their cars on the grass for a certain period of time until they are able to blacktop," signed the mayor of Live Oak. The policeman shook my hand and said, "Have a good day, sir." Never heard from them again until we were able to blacktop. Why? I had it in writing. I had it in writing. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, the devil is going to do his very best to confront you. You better be able to throw it out there in writing and say, "I was saved. It's recorded in heaven. I was baptized. It's recorded in heaven. I was filled with the Spirit. It's recorded. It is written. It is written." Is there anything written about you? If you don't have living proof, written proof, it's not going to happen. When I first came to San Antonio in 1974, getting ready in 1975 to start the church, the racquetball clubs were a booming deal. I played racquetball every day. Every day I played racquetball. Everybody was playing racquetball. It was the craze of the time. And so they built the first racquetball court over here off of San Pedro and 410. Nice court. There was a man there by the name of Bruce. He owned it. Bruce was a Jew. I got to know Bruce. Bruce needed money. He came in one day and said, "Steve," he said, "if you'll give me $200, I'll give you a lifetime membership." $200 for a life. I said, "Could you put it in writing, Bruce?" He said, "Yeah." He went into a typewriter and typed a little deal out. He owned the whole thing. I gave him $200 and went my way. He sold the club in a couple of years. I went in there and they said, "Sir, you're not a member." I said, "Oh, yes, I am. I'm a lifetime member." And they said, "Well, you haven't paid any dues." I said, "I got a little letter here in my gym bag. Oh, I keep things. Don't sign something and give it to me. It'll be in my coffin. Look in my coffin. If you sign something, I'm taking them in my coffin with me." I pulled out that little letter. I said, "I'm a lifetime member. I don't ever have to pay any." They said, "Sir, he didn't give any lifetime members." I said, "Read his signature. We didn't know he did this. Sir, you're welcome here any time." I went for years free, didn't have to pay anything. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, I've got a lifetime membership in the kingdom of God, and it's signed by Jesus Christ himself. Devil, you are a liar. Did you ever read in the book of Job when he was going through his greatest trial? You know what he said? He said, "I wish my words were written and I'd carry them in a book on my shoulder." That's what Job said. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't have a chip on my shoulder. I've got a record on my shoulder. And the Bible said on his shoulder, the government resides and it will never, ever diminish. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got authority in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the reason I can say, ain't no weapon, there is no weapon made, no weapon that will be made. I am not ignorant of Satan's devices, not hell's greatest technology. It's not going to faze me, because it is written that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Your actions have to match your words. The devil is not deceived by stolen identity. My brother's name was Johnny Fender. My dad's name was Johnny, not John, but Johnny. And so my brother was not as trustworthy as he could be. And so when he found those checks in the mail that said Johnny Fender, he's just like 18 years of age, he goes straight to the bank. That didn't last too long until my dad and the bank found out about it. Friend, the devil can't steal my identity. Because my identity is in Jesus Christ the Lord. Your claim, your confession must match the word. When Jesus Christ was beginning his ministry on this earth, and the devil came in, and said, I'm going to bring you to naught. Jesus didn't talk about a lot of hype. He simply said, it is written. It is written. I'm asking you today, do you think hell really knows your name? Friend, if it's written, they do. Because even hell has to respect the authority. I was driving yesterday in North Texas, and all of a sudden I saw the lights come on. I pulled over. I put both hands at the top of the steering wheel, and I waited for him to come in my car. He said, sir, what's the hurry? Is there a reason you're hurrying? I said, sir, two things. I don't know what the speed limit is, and I don't know how fast I was going. He said, the speed limit is 30, and you're going 42. I said, that's too fast, isn't it? He said, that's too fast. I said, you don't know how sorry I am. He got a big old smile on his face. He said, sir, I'm going to go back and run your record on your license. And he said, if you're clean, I'm not even going to give you a warning. Because you know why? He knew he wasn't dealing with a thug. He wasn't dealing with somebody who's going to run from him. I knew his authority. This kid was a little old white boy about yay high and about this wide. He looked like he's about 16 years old. But the point is he had a badge and he had a gun. And just because I'm so pretty and so smart and so wise had nothing to do with the fact that I was dealing with a little kid that was not wise and he was too fat and he was sweet. He had a great smile, though. None of that mattered because he had the authority and I didn't. And he knew that I recognized his authority. And he said, sir, I run your record and it's clean. I said, oh, I knew it was. And I said, just slow down. I said, I'm going to come back here next year at the same time next year. And I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to drive from side to side at 30 miles an hour. He said, attaboy. Praise God. I recognized his authority. I wasn't happy about being stopped. I wasn't saying, oh, I'm so glad this guy's out here. Please. I just knew he had authority. The devil ain't very happy with me, and the devil's not very happy with you, but the bottom line, he knows that you have the authority. He knows that you're covered from the top of your head to the sole of your feet with the blood of Jesus Christ. He knows that you have got the name that is above every name. He knows that you are filled with the Word of God, and he said, like it or not, I've got to give up some territory. I've got to do what they say because they come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Church of the Living God. I'm not sure that we recognize our authority, but Christ has given us authority over sin. He's given us authority over sickness. He's given us authority over poverty. He's given us authority over bondage and sickness and drug possession. We have got the authority. We just need to stand up. Praise God. It don't matter how tall you are. I walked in. I hadn't seen Deborah for so many years. And I said to Brandon, I said, is that Deborah? He said, yeah. I said, I thought she was bigger. You know that? No, taller. I thought she was taller. And big. I just thought she was a bigger person. You know the reason why I thought she was bigger? Because I have such a great respect for what you do that I thought you had to really be big physically to do that. You know, that's the way I remembered you, as a giant in the Lord, having authority in the Lord. You know, people come up to me, and they say this to me all the time. They say, and when I see them, you know, I'm not talking about here in church so much as people around the country when I travel. They say, boy, you've lost a lot of weight, haven't you? No, I haven't lost any weight. But that tells me that you had in your mind an image of me as a big fat guy. Because I'm the same size I was, and you think I've lost weight. You had the wrong image of me. But I see Deborah as a giant because of what she's doing in the kingdom of God. Do you see yourself as a grasshopper? Or do you realize that you are called, chosen, and faithful, authorized, praise God? Do you understand? Because here's what happened. This kid yesterday that pulled me over, he really was really young. I don't know how he got that gun, but he was really young. But here's the point. I had a .357 Magnum right in my seat. I could have pulled out and shot him right between the eyes. But you know what happens then? Somebody else in the city comes after me. And when they fail to get me, the state police come after me. And after the state police fail to get me, the FBI gets me. And after the FBI fails, the entire government, they'll get the army on me. You cannot resist the authority of the United States government. And if you think you can, you're a fool. It's too big. And the devil knows that he cannot resist my authority, because he knows that when I say, in the name of Jesus, devil, you've got to go. He knows if he resists me that Christ is coming. And with Christ, the Holy Spirit is coming. And with the Holy Spirit, the Father is coming. The whole Godhead is coming. The whole Word of God is coming. The whole created universe is coming. It stands behind me. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to rise up and say, there's a record. I am not the Saul of Tarsus. I am the Apostle Paul. I have been changed. I have been transformed. I am the real deal. I'm not a counterfeit. I live this thing every day of my life. I pray in the name of Jesus. I worship in the name of Jesus. I testify in the name of Jesus, and I'm something to be reckoned with. I've got power over devils. I've got power over cancers. I've got power over heroin addiction. I've got power over demon spirits. I am a walking, talking symbol of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it doesn't matter whether it's hell or whether it's heaven or whether it's earth. You've got to realize that there is anointing on my life. There are people sitting all over this building that have got an anointing, and God is saying to you, get up, get up, get up, get up, and use your anointing. Break the yoke. Break them as brands out of the burning. Get your family saved. Get your life right. Get your victory obtained. Stand on your feet and give the Lord a big praise in this house today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know why I hadn't thought about it for years. I was preaching as a young kid. I preached a camp in Fordville, Indiana. And I went to a church there to preach. And I preached to that church, and there was a good number of people there. And man, I preached like a wild man. And when I got through preaching, a man stood in front of me. He said, I want to be saved. The pastor came up to me and he said, there's some mistake. He said, that man's been my board member for 30 years. He's the board member of this church. I said, he said he wants to get saved. There's some confusion. The pastor went up and said, what's the problem, brother? He said, I've been a board member for 30 years. But he said, I've never, ever been saved. I want to get saved today. I laid my hands on a man that had been a board member for 30 years. I watched him repent of his sins. He was just tired of being a counterfeit. He was tired of being a fraud. And I watched the Lord baptize him in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I saw him dance all around that altar. And he said, I wished I'd done this 30 years ago. I want to know, is there anybody in this building today?